97.7 FM Baraboo, 103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere.
Mix FM, 99.7 Mix FM.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Scripture reading from Genesis, chapter 18, verses 20 through 32, prayer, an act of faith. Join us now in singing hymn number 778.
Amen.
Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Lord, be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, your ears are always open to the prayers of your humble servants who come to you in Jesus' name. Teach us always to ask according to your will, that we may never fail to obtain the blessings you have promised. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first lesson is from Genesis chapter 18, the prayer of Abraham. God is gracious, and he wants to save his nephew Lot, but he's also praying for those who don't believe. He's also part of God's general will. So the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is so very great, I will go down now and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has come to me. If not, I will know. The two men turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Abraham approached him and said, will you really sweep away the righteous along with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep them away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous person? You would never do such a thing, killing the righteous along with the wicked, treating the righteous the same as the wicked. You would never do such a thing. The Lord, the judge of all the earth, should be right, shouldn't he? The Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people within the city of Sodom, then I will spare the entire place for their sake. Amen. See, now I who am but dust and ashes have taken on myself to speak to the Lord, but what if there are five fewer than 50 righteous? Will you destroy the entire city if the number is 5? He said, I will not destroy it if I find 45. He spoke to him yet again and said, what if only 40 are found there? The Lord said, I will not do it for the sake of the 40. Abraham said, please do not be angry, my Lord, but I will speak again. What if 30 are found there? The Lord said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And Abraham said, you know, I've taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. What if there are 20 found there? The Lord said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. But please do not be angry, my Lord, but I will speak just once more. What if 10 are found there? He said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We sing our psalm for today, Psalm 138. It too is a prayer starting with praise. We sing Psalm 138. It's found in your Psalter on page 748. Thank you. predicated on our prayers. And I think that's important to see. God wants us to change our desires for our world. First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those who are in authority, in order that we might live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. For this testimony I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I speak the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise to sing the gospel acclamation. Jesus teaches us to be persistent in prayer, even over the same thing. He may not grant it right away, but do keep praying. On another occasion, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John also taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.'" He said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and tell him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine who is on a journey has come to me, and I do not have anything to set before him.' And the one inside replies, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give it to you.' I tell you, even if he will not get up and give it to him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his bold perseverance, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. I tell you, keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep seeking, and you will find. Keep knocking, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. One who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if your son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, would give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Christ. We be seated and we sing, "Lord, teach us how to pray."
Thank you. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Last Sunday, Pastor talked about the promise that a 89-year-old woman, 89-year-old woman and a 99-year-old man would have a child. God had promised this to them 60, 70 years before. I don't remember exactly how long. It was a long time before. And what an amazing promise. Something they had been waiting for so long. It certainly involved their family. But you know what? It was also that salvation depended on it, because it was through their son Isaac that the Savior would come. And God asked Abraham and Sarah to believe his promise. And they did. They were truly believers. Let me just read a couple of words from our text that come after that. Here, this man wanted to have a family, and God was about to grant it. And then God sort of threatened to take away another part of his family, Lot and his daughters. The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sins so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? What if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? For the sake of 10, the Lord said, I will not destroy it." When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. The word of the Lord. God, in his grace, was including Abraham in his counsel. God had made a decision to check out the wickedness that was near where the Savior would come into the world. And God wanted to change that. And so he considers his very important person, Abraham, who is the father of faith and who, through whose line came the Savior. Abraham is a mover and shaker in God's plan. And God's high evaluation of this faithful man was very clear. He brought him in. I may punish Sodom and Gomorrah. That hit Abraham very hard. Some of his family lived down there. He didn't want them to be destroyed. And so he acted on his faith, and he prayed. I want you to see that prayer starts with faith. In other words, faith must be there before any prayer is really effective. And that we pray for God's power, we pray for people, and we pray for even our own personal morality. I think these are important for us to see in what Abraham was praying. And how close it is related, dear people, to the Lord's Prayer. We heard that reading in the Gospel reading. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. These are the first three things where we're talking about God's desires and wants and what he intends to happen. He wants his name to be hallowed, and he wants more people in heaven when he says, your kingdom come. Abraham understood how mighty God is to get his will done and to have that kingdom grow. And certainly Abraham knew how holy the Lord was. He knew that he himself, in comparison, as he says a little later on, was just dust and ashes. He knew he had nothing without God, and he knew what God had in mind. When God was going to judge somebody, that is a serious threat to those that he's ready to curse. When God comes with his justice, he punishes. It isn't always pleasant. It is judicial. It comes from the bench. It's not about revenge. And it is the ultimate. But Abraham wanted to give more time and opportunity to the corrupted souls in Sodom and Gomorrah so that they would come to faith. Oh, sure, he wanted to save his relatives, but this wasn't far from him either. Abraham was one who loved his neighbors, and that is truly clear. How he prayed was important. How we pray is important too. And take the lessons that you see from Abraham. He started out with real humility. Okay, at first it was a real emotional reaction, but then he said, "Oh, I am but dust and ashes. I don't deserve to be talking to you," he says later on. Think about that word, deserve. And I bring it up so often. They use it in commercials that oh my goodness, I deserve a break today from McDonald's. You know, oh come on, don't manipulate me with words. And when you take it in the spiritual sense here, do we deserve anything from our holy God? We don't. I compare it to parents for their children. Here's where I expect you parents to look at your kids and laugh a little bit. All they do is take up your money, your time, and then they whine about it, you know? And when they were really young, man, oh man, all you had to do is feed them and change them? Come on, right? Did they really deserve your attention? Well, no. But did you love them? Here's where you can look at them and tell them, yes, I love you. All right. I put out a lot of money for you. All right. You love them. You want them to have the best. And this is our way our God acts as well. And it's important for us to see that. And Abraham was humble enough to know that. He was a sinner that did not deserve anything from his God, but he was bold, wasn't he? You know? How many times did he come back? Well, reduce it by 5, reduce it by 10. How about 10 more? You know? And how bold is that? Wow. And that boldness comes through in his persistence, right? Jesus said, don't stop praying. Keep knocking on that door of your friend to give you the bread. They may not do it because they're a friend, but they'll certainly do it, and so you don't wake up their baby if you really need it that bad, right? Be persistent. Do not stop. He asked for more and for more. He asked not to be disappointed by God's actions, and isn't it an interesting thing he said? He wanted to treat vile sinners the way God treats the righteous, with grace and with mercy. That's what he wanted. After all, that's what he did for each of us, isn't it? He sent grace and mercy into our lives to bring us to faith. How important for us to see that and understand that even though God is a true God of justice, and that ought to make us fear for our very lives, but he is also our Heavenly Father. Promises grace and every blessing, as Luther puts it. God always has the best in mind for his children who come to him in faith. Now, Abraham certainly was a man of faith. We know in our world, talking to a 99-year-old about having a baby and an 89-year-old woman about having a baby, wow. But God said, next year you're going to have a child. Faith beyond earthly human reason is what God expects of us. Faith in a gracious God who for whom everything is possible, but who is also our judge. This is the faith of Abraham, noted in Hebrews chapter 11. He's the only one that has three things about him recorded. And what a prayer he gave. He prayed for sinful people. Doesn't that really fit with the Lord's Prayer? Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Yes, I said earlier the bold prayer for his nephew, but he knew what he was asking for. How many of you would like to see a city, you know, destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah were? I don't think anybody who has that heartlessness from an earthly point of view But God also is the just judge who must judge. And at times, he judges somebody before their earthly life is ended. We give you the example of Pharaoh, whom God judged ahead of time and hardened his heart after the fifth plague. And basically, he was destined for hell while he was still alive and had no more chance to believe. And at times, God does curse in that way. It's something we should also be fearful about the sins that we commit. Those little sins that, oh, God doesn't really care about this one. I hope you don't get like the rest of the world and like Sodom and Gomorrah, who said, well, I guess, you know, everybody's flouting God's law, so I guess we can do it too. So easy for us to fall into that. Well, everybody else is doing it. It's not just your teenagers that think that way. It's sometimes us as well. So he prayed for these people of Sodom and Gomorrah. He prayed that the believers would be the preserve for the unbelievers. That's the salt of the earth. That phrase that we use in a colloquial way isn't about the, you know, the work ethic that we have. It's really about the idea that believers are salt. Salt was a preservative in that day and age. They made sausage, and it's great to have sausage. It has a lot of salt in it, right? Well, that's the way they preserved meats. And you know what? We are the salt of the world because we believers preserve the unbelievers while we're here. It's an exercise in mercy. That's what Abraham was asking for. God, you're a God of mercy. How can you not have mercy on these people? You have done it for so long. Keep on doing it, dear Father. Now, these people of the city may have been secondary in Abraham's thoughts, but you know what? It's not that he didn't pray for them. And I want you to see how that is a result of faith. It is the love that flows from the love for our God. You see, those good works where we pray for others flow from the faith that we have in our Savior. It's not the other way around. Our good works do not produce our faith, nor does it produce our salvation. No, it is faith that produces our salvation and then also produces our good works. How important for us to see that. And so clearly put here, God does not treat the wicked and the righteous alike, even though they may each suffer the same tragedy. And we know that. The righteous may suffer with the evil, but rarely do the evil suffer with the saints. And we know that too. How many times in the Psalms did believers complain, "The evil prosper, and they keep on giving me trouble. Lord, watch over me." But what a wonderful, just concern Abraham has in keeping with God's mercy and grace that he prayed for the wicked to be treated like the righteous. That God would not bring his punishment down early. That he would not do something powerful and amazing as he actually did do in this case. This is not necessarily against God's general will, but may have been against his specific will here. God wants all to be saved, and that is absolutely true. But there are times when God knows that there is no hope for a group of people, and he does sometimes bring a curse. And God's promise to send his word and his spirit into our lives is also true, and always true, because he can still bring faith out of unbelief, out of stony heart. Even if Lot and his daughters had died inside, God would not have treated them like he would have killed them by their faith. God never treats the righteous like their faith. We need to understand. We need to know that our Heavenly Father, though he may discipline us, don't love us just like our Father. that in scriptures, where like when Moses pleaded before God, God was angry with the people he had taken out of Egypt, and he was going to wipe them all out and start over with Moses. Still fulfill all his promises, but wipe them all out. And Moses was pleaded with him. No, grace. Think about what the Egyptians would think. If you brought them out into the desert and killed them all?
Because of one sin, he was one who stole.
suggest Abraham prayed for God to solve the problem in some other way than it might be Jesus? It boggles our minds when we think about it, that God's foreknowledge is involved, that God's specific will and his greater general will is involved even when we pray. But in the end, Abraham didn't want God. But we know that God's judgment is fair and right, and the Lord's judgment demonstrates his grace and his mercy to the rest of the world, so that your Savior would come into this world and be in that land. We need to know that God gets set up to punish us, but he also, in his grace, the prayer of the righteous. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Please be seated for our responsive prayer of the church. Eternal Lord, give us peace as we ponder the good news that you forgive our sins in Christ. Lead us to see clearly the path you have laid out for us. Work in us that we believe and live the word we have heard today. Provide courage and compassion to all who preach and teach your word. Fill them with a love like yours as they proclaim your grace to us and to all people. guard and guide the families of our congregation. Lead husbands and wives to love each other with commitment, respect, and patience. Help parents to grasp the eternal value of keeping their children close to Jesus all their lives. Grant joy to those who are single. Make them a blessing to others. Protect us from the temptations that surround us. Give us pure hearts and minds. Provide wisdom and insight to those who make laws and set policies. Give us respect for those who protect us from crime. Lead us to value the rights of our fellow citizens and to defend those who cannot defend themselves. Give us passion to share the story of your love with our family and friends, overcome unbelief, and open the hearts of people everywhere to believe the good news that Jesus has forgiven their sins and opened the gates of heaven. Extend your healing power to those who are sick and suffering in body or mind. Give patience and compassion to all who care for the sick and dying. Today, dear Lord, we pray for the family of Severa Marquardt, whom after 97-ish years, you took to glory. Lord God, bless them with that memory and that knowledge that she believed in Christ Jesus, and remind them of your grace in Christ Jesus. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Hear us, Lord, as we pray in silence. Gracious God, you govern and direct all things, and you love all people. Hear our prayers, spoken and silent, and answer them in your wisdom and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The offering for tonight is at the door. We will continue on with our next hymn, Our Father Throned in Heaven Above. Our Father Throned in Heaven Above, hymn 720. Please rise. We pray the prayer that we continue to learn. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor, give you peace. Amen. Please be seated, and we'll sing three verses of With the Lord Begin Your Task.
Hymn 766.
Now we're moving on to the book of Acts, and I forgot to tell my secretary that, so she got it in there. The other denominations, but we'll be looking at the book of Acts on Thursday, book of Mark on Sunday, your questions, scriptures answered on Saturday. All right. Good evening to all of you. God bless.
The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Faribault, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7, Max FM of Faribault. or 103.7 FM in Reedsburg. You can also stream online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of the service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Spectrum, Cable Channel 10, and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch the service on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook and YouTube pages at 9 o'clock a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in four-year-old preschool through the eighth grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, will be appreciated. For more information about our congregation, please visit us at www.stjohnsbaraboo.org. Television program today was produced by Jed Strobel. This is Brent Bailey. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
This is 99.7 FM Baraboo, 103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
In this fallen world, God's love always comes to us in two kinds of talk, law and gospel. God's law talk brings death to us all on this long green mile. But the law is not God's final word.
Tim Carter has had an unusual career. Before becoming a pastor, Tim was an executioner for the state of Texas. Dr. Michael Ziegler tells his story today on the Lutheran Hour. I'm Mark Eicher. Thanks for making the Lutheran Hour part of your day. The Lutheran Hour is listener-supported. To learn how your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the